Okay. Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Hallelujah.
All right, we're glad to be here on tonight, and we're so glad to have each and every one of you. And as we get started on tonight's topic, let me kind of brief you on this. What we're going to do, I'm going to kind of quickly go through it, kind of like, so that we can get it on this particular tape, and then I can put it on the website. I did last week's, but it was too long, and you know it won't take us so much. So we're going to go ahead and give you most of the stuff. Most of the stuff is reading anyway that you have in front of you. I have designed the Bible study so it would last for one Bible study. That we will finish it. Each time we do it, we'll finish it. So it won't be part two, and then you got part one, but then get part two kind of thing. Or you got part two, then get part one. So what we're going to do, I'm going to kind of go through, like I said, we're going to go through this. And then what we'll do, when I get to maybe about the 15, 20 minute mark, then we'll stop taping because I should be finished by then. And then at that point in time, we'll go back over it with a few minutes that we have left and see if you have any questions or comments, or you need something clarified. Is that all right? Okay, all right, so we're gonna start. Our topic is Why Me, Lord? And I call it a short study in frustration because very often we are frustrated when we are called into ministry. We're getting started real good. We get called into ministry. We get started, and then we run into some things, and all of a sudden, we just want to, Lord, why did you call me? Why did you call somebody else to do this? Somebody else could do this a lot better than me, and I'm not doing too good a job of it. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So what I want to do, we want to study just for a little bit Gideon, who is one of the judges of Israel. It's the Old Testament book. Book of Judges, and what I've done is typed out just 7 verses for you, just a little bit of it so you can get the gist. Now look at the top and you see it says verse 15, I just got a little bit of it. Pardon me, my Lord, Gideon replied, but how can I save Israel? Now he's talking to the angel of the Lord, and we're going to find it out in just a second. But I use that kind of as our basic scripture so you can see Gideon's frustration that God called him to do something that was, he felt, beyond his ability, right? Okay, so first what I'm going to do, let's read the scripture together, all right? Judges chapter 6, verse 11 through 16. Everybody ready?
Yes.
Okay, Judges chapter 6, 11 through 16. Then the angel of the Lord came and sat beneath the great tree of Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, the clan of Abiezer. Gideon, son of Joash, was threshing wheat at the bottom of a winepress to hide the grain from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, Mighty hero, the Lord is with you. Sir, Gideon replied, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? And where are all the miracles our ancestors told us about? Didn't they say, the Lord brought us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites. Then the Lord turned to him and said, go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you. Verse 15, but Lord, Gideon replied, how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I am the least in my entire family. The Lord said to him, I will be with you, and you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man. Amen. All right, so as you can see, this is a little bit of a snippet of the story of Gideon. We'll give you a few more details as we move on, And we're going to go through the study, and then we'll stop the tape, and then we'll pause for questions and everything. There are a couple of things up here where you're going to write down. One or two, you're going to write what you feel down. You don't have to, whatever you want to put up there, you can put up there. All right, so first of all, this study covers the life of Gideon, who was a judge in Israel, and three things about him. He lived during the oppression of the Canaanites after the time of Joshua. There had been about four or five judges. There was a total of 12, 13 counting Samuel. And Gideon was about number five. He was about the fifth judge. There were no kings in that time. Israel was a combined nation, 12 tribes, and they had people that would be before them that would lead them for battle or serve somewhat as a king. So, but they called them judges, right? Everybody with me?
Amen.
Okay. So, what Israel did, as they did in latter days, was get into sin and ended up with the Canaanite people, the seven nations of the Canaanites that surrounded them, would take over them. And it happened every time, every time. They were going to sin, they would cry out unto the Lord would send a judge or deliverer, a person to lead them into battle and defeat these enemies. Well, we were in one of those cycles when Gideon comes along. It was so bad. Here's how bad it was when Gideon when the angel called. It was so bad that whenever the Israelites would harvest their crops, the Midianites and the Amalekites would come and take their food from them. So, and this went on for about 20, 30 something years. So what they would do is they would hide in the mountains and the caves, or they would thresh their, make the wheat and stuff like that and get all the crop and hide in caves because they know them folks were waiting for them. See, and that's another way of warfare, because instead of fighting them, all they had to do was go in and take their food supply, right? Okay, so at this time, God sent a word, because the children of God, the Israelites were praying to God, please, Lord, deliver us. So what God did, he sent a prophet. The Bible does not say what the prophet's name was, but the prophet came and said, O Israel, you are suffering at the hand of the Midianites and the Amalekites because you have sinned against God. But God will send a deliverer.
My Lord.
He did. Okay, so here's what I want y'all to see, all right? We come to Gideon. Gideon is hiding in his little mountain cave, and he would come out and go to a lower part of ground where they would step on the grapes to make wine. Well, what they did, instead of making wine in the lower part, he would put the wheat in there, and he would get the animals to crunch it up because that's how they made their flour. And you said, well, what they got to do with anything? Well, usually when they made their flour, they made it up high near the mountain so that when they crushed the wheat, they would take a winnowing fan fork that looked like a fan, and they would take it and throw it up in the air, and the chaff, which is the little extra weedy part of the wheat, the wind would blow it away, right? Psalms 1, verse 3 or 4, it says, the wicked are not so, right, but are like the chaff, which the wind drives away. That was one of the things they used to do. Now, I don't want to lose y'all, and I got a time limit, so I'm going to go ahead so I don't make this too long, because we want to make sure it gets on the website. Okay, so he's doing this, and God sends, the Bible says, an angel of the Lord. Now, I'm not going to get deep into that, but I believe, as with most scholars do, that this was a manifestation of Christ. This was Christ, because when he looked at him, he looked like a man. But then later on, he did something angelic by disappearing, right? Okay, because usually if it says angel of the Lord in the Old Testament and there's a capital A, then it's a spirit. And he goes before and he fights and he does this and he just destroys stuff, you know, when you see the capital A, right? Which is another let me get out of there. There's too much there. Okay, let me move on. All right, so now Gideon is literally hiding. And Christ, the angel of the Lord, comes and say, Gideon, you're a strong man of value. You know, you're great victorious. And, you know, you could literally see him look and say, me? You know, I'm hiding. I'm scared. I'm scared them folk won't come in and get my food. And you say, I'm a mighty, brave warrior and all that kind of stuff, right? Okay, so he talks to him and say, God has called you to go forth and fight the Midianites. All right, now notice what he says, and you will see it on your paper here. That he lived on the oppression of the Canaanites after Joshua. He said, I'm of the least tribe of all, which is the tribe of Manasseh. It's Manasseh and Ephraim composed the tribe of Joseph, right? My Bible scholars that we were teaching about the 12 tribes of Israel, right? So when we see Manasseh, we know that refers to Joseph as one of the tribes, right? And he was approached by an angel of the Lord calling him mighty warrior. In the King James, it is man of valor or man of courage. Now, he's supposed to be courageous, but yet he's, you know, scared, treading that wheat. Y'all see what I'm getting at? Okay, God called people who don't believe and think that they're qualified, who feel totally unqualified. Y'all follow me?
Amen.
Okay, so here we go. When we are called of God, we often feel frustration because of the many things against us. Why me is the question we may sometimes ask because of the feeling of unworthiness. Sometimes we would rather stay in our comfort zone instead of facing the obstacles that are to come. Amen. We were minister of music at the church for over 24 years at the church that we used to go to. And God had called me long time ago, but I ran as hard as I could. I didn't want to get up there with them preachers and be, you know, all the stuff they had to go through and everything. And I was so glad when the Lord kind of eased up off of me a little bit. You know, he just kind of eased up because it was going to be a certain time. And then I met this crazy woman. You know, y'all might know who I'm talking about. Y'all know who I'm talking about. I ain't got to call her name, right? You know, she was evangelist at that time. Evangelist Sandra B. Well, she was Sandra Bayham at the time, but she ain't Bayham no more. But anyway, we met, and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. Got married, and she just kept on saying stuff and encouraging me and all that. And I just kept right on turning my head, keep right on going. Now, I knew the call was on me, and I did everything I could to shake it. But finally, the Lord said, "It's time. It's time to go." And so we were obedient. I knew from watching the pastor that I was under some of the stuff that he went through. And like her, I made the vow to myself, I would not do some of the things that he did that drove the people away and caused the people to have hard feelings and caused people not to want to come to church and all that kind of stuff. So I said, I would not do that, you know. Just like she'll testify, she'll tell you about how she said, send them her pastor. And she learned the bad stuff, you know, and stuff. So she learned how to do it the right way, right? Okay, now down there I have three lines. I have obstacles for Gideon. Y'all see that? Here are some things that I wrote down. Now you can write down what you want to write, but very often obstacles face us. Here's some obstacles that I saw that Gideon was facing. Number one, he was afraid of the Midianites and the Amalekites. He was afraid of the Midianites, and I think it's up there, yes, right there, and Amalekites, A-M-A-L-E-K-I-T-E-S. He was afraid of them. That's one obstacle, because when you are called to go forward into the ministry, or called in any kind of way to do the work of the Lord, you know that there, you got your family, amen, you got your friends, you got co-workers that know you, and you're going to come and tell them that the Lord called you to be a preacher. So that's an obstacle right there. You got to deal with that. You got to deal with that in a godly way. You know, you got to, without getting mad at them and say, look, that was me. Yeah, we went to the club 2 weeks ago, but now the Lord done called. You got to deal with all of that, right? So,
yeah.
That number two.
Wait.
Okay. We'll come back and let you write because we want to make sure we stay under the time limit. Let's see what we're looking like. Okay, we only got a few more minutes, so we're gonna go ahead and zip through it, and then we'll come back and let you fill in. Okay. Second obstacle I had written down, and you can write down what you want. He had little faith to believe he could make a difference because he's just one man, smallest tribe, you know, Manasseh, you know, who am I to do this, right? And that's how we'll feel sometimes. God did not appear to be in control of the situation. That's the third thing that I have, and I'll repeat this later, okay? God did not appear to be in control of the situation. Gideon said, okay, you the angel of the Lord, so what happened to all the great works that I heard about? They told us about how Moses led close to 2 million people through the Red Sea and through the wilderness. You know, a generation of them died after 40 years, but they made it into the Canaan land. But that our God rained down manna, you know, and fed them, and their clothes didn't get worn out, their shoes weren't worn out. Where is this God now? That's what Gideon is saying. Where is he? Right? And the angel really didn't answer him as to where God was. He says, God is calling you. Don't you worry about the situation. Don't worry about how it looks. Don't worry how it looks impossible. When God calls you to do something, you just say yes. You might as well, because he's going to keep on calling you until you do, right? Okay, now on the back of your page, I have given three blank spaces. That's your own personal thing. What are your obstacles? Think about some things that just were kind of frightening for you when the Lord called you forth, either into ministry or right when you got saved or whatever, when you knew your life was going to go through changes, you would no longer be doing the same thing you used to. What are some of the things that frighten you? What are some of the things that you were concerned about? I know some of us might have been concerned about what our husband would say, what our wife would say, what our boyfriend might say, what our, you know, mama might say, my daddy, my sister. We were concerned about different things. We were concerned that we hadn't been to Bible school. We knew very little. All we knew is the Bible. That's all we knew. And the 23rd Psalm. So there are a lot of things that come on our mind, right? Okay, let me move on. We only got a few minutes. Gideon doubted his own faith. All right? You see that? All right. The first thing I wrote down, here's some things to show how he doubted. First of all, he asked for a sign from the Lord. Now, how many of us have done that?
Amen.
Amen. Lord, I believe you want me to do this, but Lord, show me something. Let me know I'm going the right way. God ain't got no problem showing you that, but now that we grow up in Christ, we shouldn't require a sign. We should learn to trust him. But if we're at that point where we still ain't got there yet, let's work to the point where we trust God. When we know it's him, let's just move, right? Okay, but if we still at that point where you say, Lord, show it to me, that's okay. God ain't got no problem with that. He ain't got no problem with that. He will show you too. He will show you that what he said is right. All right, so he asked for that sign of a wet fleece and dry land. Then when God did it, he said, well, give me a dry fleece and wet land. And God did it, did that too, right? The second thing he did, he asked for someone to go into the enemy's camp and find out what was going on. And the enemy in the camp were talking about, the Midianites were talking and saying, one of them had a dream. And his enemies now, said one of them had a dream. And they said, well, what did you dream? I dreamed that I saw a rock coming through here and destroying us. And somebody gave an interpretation. Said, well, that ain't nobody but Gideon and his army. Ain't that something? So God has confirmed himself again to Gideon, right? And the third thing was he was skeptical of winning the victory against the Midianites and Amalekites when God says, you got too many, and broke it down all the way to 300 men, right? Now, it's already hard enough to answer the call, but then we learn that God will put you in a situation, you're either gonna trust him, or you're gonna be in a fix. He placed you between what I call the spiritual rock and a hard place. That's where he wants you, so you can't move. And let Christ be that rock. Amen?
Amen.
And he'll take you through and get you out of the hard place. Y'all still there?
Yeah.
Okay, so I asked the question, do you ever doubt that you can complete your task that God has given you? And then I say, you're in good company. I give an example of Moses, Exodus 3. He was afraid to appear before Pharaoh because he stuttered, right? He gave God all kinds of excuses, right? Abraham, when he saw, when God says, I'm going to give you a son, he gave the excuse of, well, what will you do? How are you going to give me a son? Sarah's old, I'm old. Are you going to use my servant Eleazar? He's like a son to me anyway. God says, no, the son is going to come out of Sarah's womb. And you're going to be the daddy, right? So even Abraham was a little shaky on that. And of course, the disciples, because after the crucifixion, besides Judas, where were they? Where at first, before they went fishing, where were they at first?
Hiding.
They were hiding behind locked doors. You know,
that's Sunday. You're talking about Sunday.
That's Sunday they were hiding.
I'm talking about next Sunday.
Yeah, next Sunday they were still hiding.
That's in my message.
Oh, okay. I'm in your message, Sunday. Okay.
That's all right.
Okay, that's confirmation. That's confirmation.
I'm going. Let's go fishing.
All right.
Let's go back.
The man, and this is something I want you to keep this in mind when, as you even look at your own call in your life, keep this in mind. The very man who said he would not deny Christ denied him three times.
Amen.
Everybody else gonna leave you, Jesus. I ain't going nowhere. I'm determined, right? And Peter, you know, right here.
Is that on that paper?
No, this ain't on the paper. I just want you to remember this. When you go through a rough time and you get frustrated because God has called you to this and you wonder why you calling me, Lord. I mean, and then you feel like you have denied him. Remember, watch and see what happened to Peter. When it happened at a time as he was leaving the court and the cock had crowed three times, John records that Jesus stopped and looked at him. And Peter just cried like a little baby. He just cried. And I can only wonder just how he felt to see the pure eyes of Jesus. And I just don't think that Jesus was looking at him in condemnation. I don't think he was. I think he was looking at him with, I still love you. That's what I think. That ain't in the Bible, but that's what I think. But this same Peter that denied Christ, once he has seen the risen Savior, he never went back again. And they ended up, according to the historians, they ended up crucifying him. And he said, do not crucify me like up here, but crucify me upside down because I'm not worthy to die like my Lord. Amen? Same man that denied him. But once God's spirit takes over and you let him have his way, amen? You have no need to be afraid. Okay, finishing up. God picks people that are often unqualified. These are my words. Unqualified, uneducated, meek, loud, unruly, and without a clue.
Really?
These are the kind of people God will pick, without a clue, to accomplish his will so that he would receive the glory. You can put that down on that line. So that he would receive the glory. If y'all don't get all this, we'll go back again in a minute and tell you what we wrote down. Okay, you are chosen because God chose you before birth. Jeremiah 1 and 5, while I was in my mother's womb, right? God says, while you was in your mother's womb, I chose you as a prophet for the nations, right? So before you even came here, amen?
Amen.
And I'll tell you something else that may blow your mind. Before your mom and daddy even met each other, God knew you were going to be here.
Amen.
Amen. I know, you got some relatives that, well, you was an accident child, but you know, you weren't an accident. God had purpose for you being here, and that's where we need to embrace and say, Lord, I'm not even sure 100% what my purpose is, but I know I have a purpose because I'm here. Amen? Okay, here's a verse of scripture I want you to always remember. From Deuteronomy 29:29, it's one scripture I kind of keep in the back of my mind as well. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. What does this mean? This means that there are some things you don't understand, some things you don't know. Right? Some things, no matter how much you seek out, you can't seem to get an answer. So whenever you get to that point, go back to Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret thing, things you don't know about. You know, things you have no idea. I mean, how are my children going to turn out? You don't know, right? You just live it out, right? But those secret things, God knows.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
You don't know, but God knows.
Just text that.
Amen. 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 But when he reveals something to you, it is a treasure you can keep. It is something that will give you life. It was something that will energize you. It's something that you can hold on in faith. Because God gave me that revelation, and nobody can take it from me.
Make me do my hammer dance.
Right. Can't touch that. Right. Can't touch it. Amen. Okay. Here's my last thing. We're gonna cut off the recorder and stop for questions and everything. There are some things we may not understand, but what do we learn from Romans 8:28? Y'all tell me that what? All things
work together.
Work together
for the good.
For the good.
To them who love God.
Who are called according to his purpose. Amen. Verse 29 lets us know whom he did foreknow. He did predestinate to be in the image of his son. God knew you. He knew you before you even on the scene, way back, right? And he has purpose for you as his child. All right, we're going to stop right here.